Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Pneuma Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
Awesome. We're going to jump into the Word this morning. Who has got their Bibles? Give me a wave if you've got a hardback Bible, a few of you. Awesome. Or softback Bible, real leather. Awesome. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 11, famously known as the faith chapter. And we'll read from verse 1. Most people believe that Paul wrote this letter. It's up for discussion. So from verse 1, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible." Down to verse 6, "And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith." Verse 8, "By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made it his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God." Verse 11, "And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children, because she considered him faithful who had made the promise." What a chapter of Scripture. So much truth in here. Why don't we invite the Holy Spirit to come and encounter us this morning? Ultimately, that's why we're here, to hear from God, to be changed and transformed by His presence. So, Father, we do come before You right now. We acknowledge that You are already here. You are already working in our midst. And we ask You to come and do a deep work in us. God, we don't want to be a people that are superficial. We don't want to be a people that live life on the surface, but we want to be a people that go deep. We want to be a people that have a hunger and a desire to know You more intimately, to encounter Your presence, to encounter Your Spirit. And I ask that You would help me in the next few moments as I unpack Your Word. Let the truth of Your Word change us and shape us and make us this morning, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, the title of this morning's message is "By Faith or by Sight?" By faith or by sight? One of the most uncomfortable moments in my life took place a number of years ago now. I went away with my dad and my older sister to Bright. So we were hanging out in Bright, beautiful place for those of you that have been there, trees and valleys, just breathtaking views. And on one particular day, Dad decided that he would take us to Mount Buffalo. Has anyone been to Mount Buffalo before? Mount Buffalo is ginormous. I think it's about 1,700 meters above sea level, so it is a big mountain. You cannot miss it. So Dad thought he'd take us up to the mountain to take us abseiling. Now, I was super excited. I was quite young. I was like, this is going to be amazing, like abseiling. I'm going to have stories to tell my friends. And I was pumped. I was ready to go. I was full of confidence. We started driving up the mountain. It's a long drive. Eventually, we got to the top of the cliff that we would be abseiling down. Now, as we stood at the top of that cliff, my confidence began to drop. All of a sudden, I wasn't so excited about going abseiling, because as you stood at the top of the mountain, all you could see was the valleys that were far, far away, and all you could see was how high up you really were. And as we stood at the top of this cliff, we were told we would be abseiling down this rock face and that there was a little ledge that we would land on. But here was the thing. as you stood at the top of this mountain, you could not see that little ledge. So you literally felt like you would be abseiling down a mountain that was hundreds and hundreds of meters high, and it was incredibly overwhelming. So I was standing there, and I like to think I'm tough, but I'm going to be transparent this morning. I started to experience fear to the extent where I wanted to cry. Like, it was bad, and I don't love heights, and it wasn't ideal. What made things a whole lot worse is my older sister, Bridie, within seconds, she was abseiling, backing down that cliff like she was an incredible ninja warrior or something. Like, no fear at all. So I'm sitting there going, Bridie's just done it, so what does that mean? I have to do it. I cannot let my older sister outdo me. So as you came to the cliff face, you needed to turn backwards to abseil down this cliff. So as I'm going backwards over this cliff face, you cannot see this little rock ledge that is down there. But in that moment, what you had to do, what I had to do, is just to trust that there was a landing pad, that we wouldn't be abseiling hundreds and hundreds of meters down, but by faith, there was somewhere a few hundred meters down that we would land. Now, faith is having confidence and belief in what we cannot see. It's having confidence and belief in the unseen. And there's moments in our lives where we have no option but to live by faith. To live by faith rather than by sight. And this is what 2 Corinthians says, for we live by faith and not by sight. And the first insight I want to share with us from what we've just read is true faith thrives in the unknown and the unseen. Where does this come from? Look at verse 1 with me. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Faith is assurance about what we do not see. The life of faith will always be marked by belief in what we can't see with our physical eyes. We need to perceive these things with our spiritual eyes. But here is the tension. In our modern scientific world, many people would say, how can you believe in what you can't see? Like, that is crazy. That isn't intelligent living. That isn't 21st century living. Don't believe in something you can't see. That is foolish. It's not intelligent at all. But here is the thing. I have never seen a substance or matter called love. I can't put love in a jar and say, this is love. But I've absolutely experienced love. I've encountered love all throughout my life. In fact, love has been the thing that has shaped me more than anything else. I am certain love exists, even though I can't see it. I've seen it transform life after life after life. When it comes to gravity, praise God for gravity, otherwise we wouldn't be standing on the ground right now on the earth. I can't see gravity. I can't point to it, but I know it exists. And I'm very glad it exists. And in the same way, I've never seen God face to face. I look forward to that day where I will. But I have encountered the reality of God's presence and God's love. And I've seen God transform life after life after life. I've seen what He's done in my own life. And for that reason, I am all in. I am all in when it comes to having faith in a God I cannot see, because I can't point to Him right in front of me, but I have experienced Him in a real and authentic way. And to live by faith is to risk being misunderstood. See, society is okay with a faith that is prepared to take a back seat. Society's okay with a faith that is private, that doesn't make its way into the public space. Our society is okay with our faith as long as we keep it to ourselves. But as soon as we go beyond the private, as we've seen the last few weeks, there is opposition and there is persecution. We need to be prepared to be misunderstood. You see, the truth is that we can go all in for God. And I'm someone that wants to say, hey, even though I haven't seen God, I'm going to be all in. And the society would go, to give 10% to a God you've never seen, that is unreasonable. to lay down your life and to lay down your dreams and ambitions to serve a God that you've never seen, that is unreasonable. To teach your kids to build their lives on nothing else other than the foundation of God's word, that is unreasonable. May we be the kind of people that others look at us and go, they have got a crazy faith. They've got an unreasonable faith. It's not rational. They are all in when it comes to following Jesus. May we be those kinds of people. The world would say, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Don't take the risk of putting all your eggs in one basket. I mean, what if you get to the end of your life and God's not real? But I would say this, what if you get to the end of your life and you actually come face to face with your Creator? What if we do get to the end of our lives and this thing we've been talking about is real and eternity does exist and life with Jesus is a reality? I believe that all of us will be so glad that we put all our eggs in one basket. I don't want to put an egg here in atheism and an egg in this religion and this theory. I am all in for Jesus, believing that what is unseen is truth and is real because we have experienced it. You see, if we could see God in this life, I mean, all of us wish we walked in the times of Jesus and we were able to come face to face with Jesus, but that's not our generation, that's not our time. But here's the thing, if we could see God daily right in front of us, if we never went through anything we don't fully understand, there wouldn't be any need for faith. If everything made sense, if God explained every experience in every season, what would be the need for faith? He takes us through the unknown and the unseen because faith thrives in the unseen and the unknown. It grows our faith. And we see in verse 7, it says, by faith, Noah, when warned about things not seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. When Noah quit his day job to build an ark, guess what? It had never rained before. It hadn't rained on planet Earth. When he started building this ark, guess what? No one had ever seen a boat. People didn't get this. It had never rained. It was unseen. He started doing something that was engaging the unseen, and he was spending decades building this ark. Talk about being misunderstood. Can you imagine Noah's neighbors being like, this guy has lost the plot. Like, he has gone crazy. Too much wine, Noah needs help, Noah needs prayer. This guy is not in a good place. He spent decade after decade building this thing. Noah had faith to believe even though he had never seen rain, he had never seen a boat. Faith thrives in the unseen. You see, what is crazy in one season will be counted as faith in another season. What is crazy to those around you will be counted as faith in another season. Think about Noah. When that rain came, like it has in Melbourne and Victoria the last few weeks, when that rain came and it started rising, Noah's neighbors didn't think he was crazy in that moment. They were like, please, can we get on the boat? Noah's faith was no longer crazy, but it was counted to him as faith. And the reality is this morning that some may think you're crazy right now for believing for financial breakthrough. But when that breakthrough comes, it will be counted to you as faith. Some people in your life may look at your belief that God can restore that relationship and be like, they are crazy, it is done, it is dusted. But when God does restore that relationship, it will be counted to you as faith. Some may look at the way you're believing to see your family saved, all of them come to Jesus and be like, I know those people, they're not coming to Jesus, that's crazy. But when it does happen, it will be counted to you as faith. The things that look crazy right now, when God makes them happen, will be counted to us as faith. My greatest hero is my mum. She's no longer with us. Many years ago, my mum started praying at the Richmond Housing Estate. She started walking around the Richmond Housing Estate, meeting people, drug addicts, prostitutes, people from all different backgrounds, and simply started sharing the gospel with them and started praying with them. when that happened, and Anna's here this morning, and Yara and other people that were on that journey with Mum, when Mum first started doing that, there was many people that said, that woman is crazy. Like, that place is dangerous, and here's a little lady wandering around mixing with all kinds of people. Like, she needs someone with her. She needs a team. What is she doing? Like, why doesn't she do a ministry that's a bit more safe, a bit more reserved? Like, that's a bit out of the box, and at times she was misunderstood. But what began as one lady walking around meeting people and praying began to grow and grow, and people began to meet Jesus and began to get set free from drug addiction. Broken people found Jesus and found healing. And what started as a few people being discipled began to move towards a church plant, and there was a church planted where many people came to faith in Jesus and were discipled and grew together, and a few people here were part of that. You see, what started as something that was crazy and misunderstood began to grow, and suddenly it began to be celebrated because God was in it. When we step out in faith in the unseen, God begins to reward it. The second insight is this: true faith is always rewarded with God's approval and presence. Verse 6, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. We can do a lot of things in life as Christians. We worship, we pray, we give, we evangelize. There's many things we can do. But all of these things don't mean much if they're not done in faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You see, we can do all of these things I've just mentioned out of duty and obligation, or we can do them out of faith-filled delight, where we go, God, I don't just want to practice these things, but I want to do these things with a heart full of faith, out of delight in you, out of awe and wonder of who you are in my life. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And in Hebrews 11, we see a long list of heroes of the faith. But let me tell you, these heroes that are mentioned in this list aren't mistake-free people. These people, yes, may be celebrated for their faith, but they made a lot of mistakes in their life. Noah struggled with alcohol and saw brokenness in his family as a result. Abraham struggled with lying. He lied time and time again in the book of Genesis. Sarah struggled with doubt. You see, these people weren't perfect, but they lived with faith even though they fell short at times. God isn't looking for perfect people, but he's looking for faithful people. People that would say, I don't always get it right, but regardless of my shortcomings, I'm going to wake up today, I'm going to go again, and I'm going to live by faith and not by sight. I love that the Bible is real. The Bible doesn't make us feel like we are inferior and that no one else struggled in the Bible, because the Bible is full of messed up people like you and me, but they chose to live by faith in spite of their shortcomings. Verse 6 says that when you seek him, we are rewarded. The reward that we get is more of God himself. I mean, God's blessing, God's hand is amazing. When God gives us things, those things should be celebrated. But the greatest reward is God himself. Is getting God. Seeing him face to face. Enjoying his presence. Enjoying the fullness of his presence. If there is one thing in life we desperately need, it's an authentic encounter with the person and the presence of the Holy Spirit. We need his presence in our life. We need to know him and to walk with him, and that's what revival is all about. See, through faith, we can approach the throne of grace with confidence and boldness. We don't have to hold back. See, the Old Testament, there was only a select few that could come into the Holy of Holies. It was only the priests that could enter that holy place. Everyone else had to stay in the outer courts. Everyone else was separated by the veil. But the New Testament, through what Jesus has done, we no longer have to be in the outer courts. We no longer have to be separated by a veil, but we can enter into the Holy of Holies where God's presence resides. we are told we can approach the throne of grace with boldness and confidence. Hebrews 10, 19, we can enter the most holy place with confidence by the blood of Jesus. Let's be a people that regularly remove the veil from our hearts. Let's not be content with remaining in the outer courts, but let's go, God, I'm coming all the way in. God, I'm coming into the most holy place. God, I want to stand before you and encounter your presence and be transformed by you. As Tozer said, let's push into conscious awareness of the presence of God. We're conscious of so much else around us. How often do we take the time to stop and say, God, would you make me aware of your presence? Would you help me to be conscious of your reality in my life above all else? The third insight is this: true faith leads to radical obedience. Verse 8 says, by faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. God told Abraham to leave, but guess what? He didn't tell him where he was going. Have you ever had one of those moments in your life? See, let's not minimize this or play this down because we're familiar with this text. Abraham was called to leave the land that he had grown up in, to leave his father's house that was familiar and safe and comfortable for him. He was called to leave his people, his relatives, the people that he thought he would do life with forever and ever. He was called to leave all of this, basically to leave everything other than his family and his belongings. He was called to leave so much. And what blows me away about this story is Abraham didn't even ask any questions. He said yes and he went. I don't know about you, but I thought I was full of faith taking 3 kids under 6 on a 5-hour flight a few months ago. I'm like, I'm a man of faith. Look at me go. The church is going to be impressed. I'm going to let them know about this. But here's Abraham taking his family and all of his stuff and going somewhere that he didn't know where he was going. He didn't know how long he would be there. And he didn't know what life would look like wherever God was taking him. But he said yes, because he understood that God was faithful and that God would look after him and that God's plan was greater than any other plan in his life. To live by faith is to say yes to God before we get all the detail. It's really easy to be faithful to God and make decisions when the detail's all there. But faith is about stepping out before you've got the detail, before God fills in all the gaps. To live by faith is to trust God, not just on the mountaintop, but down in the valley. Who knows when you're on that mountain and everything's going well and your kids' lives are going well and your job's going well and things, the ducks are in line. It's like, yes, God, you are good. But when we are in the valley, when life is tough, that is when faith is required more than any other time in our life. And Abraham had a choice. He could choose to live by faith or to live by fear. Life has taught me that it is impossible to live by faith and to play it safe at the same time. A life of faith and a life of comfort, they're not compatible. Think about Abraham. He couldn't step out and be obedient but remain comfortable at the same time. He couldn't do both. He had to make a choice. We can choose to live by faith or we can choose to live by fear. And I love this quote. Many of you would be familiar by Theodore Roosevelt. He says, it is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming. To live by faith is to live in the arena of life. is actually to get out there where God is calling us on the front line and to live by faith and say, God, I may fall short, I may not always get it right, but I would prefer to live by faith than to play it safe and live in the grandstands cheering everyone else on. See, this world today is full of critics. People that sit behind their keyboard, they think they're fierce warriors, keyboard warriors that is, and they critique everything and tell everyone else how they're getting it wrong. But I believe God has called us to be a people that are actually in the arena saying, God, would you use me? God, I want to serve you. God, I want to be on the front line. Would you take me into the arena of faith? According to Jesus, playing it safe is actually the most dangerous thing we can do. Let me say that again. According to Jesus, if you look at the Gospels, playing it safe in life is the most dangerous thing we can do. Why is that? Because when we play it safe, we end up saying no to the very things God is asking us to say yes to. And if we say no enough times to the things God is asking us to embrace, we will end up in a place in life that we never thought we would be, and a place that God did not intend us to be. God hasn't called us to play it safe, but he has called us to step out and to follow him wherever he is going. And let's be authentic this morning. All of us at different points deal with fear. And the fear of failure is something that is incredibly significant in our culture. And we all deal with it in different ways, but some of us this morning are so crippled by the fear of failure that we'd prefer to spend a lifetime playing it safe and not actually embrace the dreams and the calling and all that God has for us. And I believe this morning God wants to set some of us free from the fear of failure. And what's going to set us free is when we understand that God isn't looking for failure-free people. The Bible is full of people that failed. But guess what? They were also celebrated, not for their failures, but celebrated for their faith in God. You can be someone that fails forward. You can be someone that steps out and has a go and doesn't always get it right, but God says, go again and I will lead you and I will guide you. Don't let your life be defined by a fear of failure. Don't hold back because of fear. A great question we can ask ourselves is this: what would I be doing in my life right now if the fear of failure didn't exist? Is there anything that you would currently be doing differently in your life? In relationships, in your calling, in your workplace, when it comes to dreams God's put on the inside, is there anything you would be doing differently in your life right now if the fear of failure did not exist? Because it's time that we step into those things in faith, knowing that God will go with us. Whenever we're in a swimming pool with the girls, recently we're away and we spent a lot of time in the pool. One thing that I will always do is I will encourage the girls to come a little bit deeper. Summer loves to cling on to the side and jump into my arms in the shallow end. She's all good with the baby pool. And, you know, throughout the trip, I kept encouraging her, hey, Summer, take my hand. Trust Dad, let's go a little bit deeper, because I'm wanting to break that fear in her. And gradually over time, she began to go a little bit deeper, a little bit further, and eventually she was comfortable going into the deep end because she knew that I would be with her and that she was safe and everything would be okay. And in the same way, God doesn't want us to spend our lives where we started, which is in the baby pool. But God intentionally takes us deeper and deeper into his calling, into his presence. But guess what? He doesn't point to the deep end and say, hey, you go there on your own. But he takes our hand and says, hey, I'm going with you. I'm going right beside you. Walk in step with the Holy Spirit. You are side by side. You see, Jesus doesn't live far off and applaud us for taking another step. But Jesus does life at our side, side by side. And he says, stay in step with my Spirit. Some of us need to go a little bit deeper where he is calling us. The final insight as the worship team joins me is this: true faith believes God's promises despite life's circumstances. Verse 11, and by faith, even Sarah, great name, Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she was considered him faithful who had the promise. My wife would like another child. We'll see. Maybe we should have a vote one Sunday. Let's do it now. Who thinks we should have another child? Raise your hand. Who thinks three is enough? Raise your hand. All the men. Yes. No, a few women. No, I'm not going there. No, three is where it will remain unless I need to apply the word of God and step out in faith. We'll see. But here's the thing. Life circumstances contradicted God's promise to Sarah. Everything in front of Sarah in her life contradicted the promise God had given her. Here's a woman that is barren. She's medically barren. She is old and well advanced in age. And God comes to her and says, you will have a child. I've got a promise for you. And that child will be your descendant. And that child will know great offspring. That child will be a significant part of the lineage of the great Messiah who will come. And Sarah, being human like you and I, she responded with laughter. When God came and said, you'll have a child despite your barrenness and your age, she laughed at it. She was like, how could that happen? Look how old I am. And what I like about that response is it lets me know that it is okay to grapple with the promises of God. Because not every single one of us finds it easy to believe for the things that God has promised us. And sometimes it does involve a season of grappling and going to that place with God and saying, God, can you really do this? God, would you give me faith? God, would you help me? And what I love is how God responded to Sarah's laughter. He responded by saying, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And eventually Sarah began to believe that God's promise could happen. And her faith began to rise. And guess what happened? At the age of 90, after waiting 25 years, 25 years between the promise and the fulfillment of that promise, this barren woman at the age of 90 gave birth to God's promise, Isaac. God was faithful to her. You see, nothing is too hard for the Lord. And I want to encourage us today, if you've been given a promise, but you look around you and all of life's circumstances contradict that promise, can I encourage you to stand on that promise? Because God is faithful, God is not a liar, and if God has said it, it will happen. So let's bring our faith, let's grapple, but let's also bring our faith to that promise. You see, when I look back on my life, I want to be able to say, I had faith in the promises of God. When I look back, I don't want to see a guy who played it safe throughout his whole life, but I want to be able to say, hey, I stepped out of my comfort zone. I didn't play it safe, but I went where Jesus was leading. I want all of us to be able to look back on our lives and say, I lived a life of faith. I didn't allow the fear of failure to stop me from stepping into all that God had, but I lived a life of faith. Let's be a people that set an example for our children. Yes, let's set an example when it comes to stewardship and planning and wisdom and finance and education and all those things. But can I encourage us, let's not just model those things. Let's model what it looks like to walk with Jesus and to take steps of faith. And to let our children know when life is hard and uncomfortable, we don't have to hide it from them, but we bring it to them and we explain it and we say, but you know what? God is faithful and God is leading us. We bring them into the journey. And this morning you might say, Luke, all of this sounds wonderful, but I don't have faith right now. I don't have faith to believe for these things. The great news this morning is that God says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You don't have faith, God says, open up my word, begin to inhale it, begin to get it on the inside, and faith will begin to rise. Hebrews 12:2 says, set your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith. What that tells me is you don't need to manufacture faith.
Faith doesn't come from willpower and mustering it up, but it is a gift from God. And as we set our eyes on Jesus, the Messiah, guess what happens? Faith begins to rise in our hearts. Jesus wants to give us faith to follow and to believe. If we wake up every day and choose simply to take one more step of faith, each day, just one small step of faith, there'll be a point in our lives where we look back and we go, wow, I've actually come a long way. Like, I'm not where I was a year ago. I'm not where I was 5 years ago, 10 years ago. It's simply about waking up and taking another step to follow Jesus, another step of faith each day as we move towards all that God has for us.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.